We're in Psalm, and we're in Matthew. We're going to start in the book of Psalm 126. Psalm 126, and then we're going to travel all the way back to Matthew. We are a few days from our hamburgers, hot dogs, hope event, or hamburgers, hope, or hot dog event, or hope, hamburgers, hot dog event. Whatever you'd like to coin it, next week, as individuals start coming in around 3 o'clock to help set up a lot of different tents, a lot of different things, then as the crowd comes in at 5, and we're going to give free food, free refreshments, and then we're going to attempt to have an impact spiritually in their lives. Our team meets after our service today, the Hope Local team, and will continue their training, preparing themselves to be used by the Lord on next Sunday. We have a number of different people, and it's really neat to see how the Lord just uses his own people to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. But he wants to use us. He wants to use you and me. I've entitled our message this morning, A Passion for People. A Passion for People. Now, the first thing we need to clarify is, what is passion? Passion is an intense emotion. I experienced that intense emotion at a place called Lunch Basket just a few hours ago. We were there ordering some food for lunch there in the Marietta area. And unbeknown to me, this particular person that was waiting on us was a intense, passionate Atlanta Falcon fan. And the person before, they were communicating to each other, and they said, "Rise up, rise up." And, you know, I just like to egg people on, you know. And I said to her, "Rise up to what?" "What? You don't know?" I said, "Rise up to what?" And she started talking about, "I'm an Atlanta Falcon fan, and we do that thing around, what do you do in the parking lot? Tailgate." Says, "We have a tailgate party." And then Cindy was starting talking to her, and she's passionate about tailgate. She's so passionate about tailgate, she never even goes to the games. She just loves the tailgate. And I would think that if we talk to the Alabama fans, or the Georgia fans, the Georgia Tech fans, or the Auburn fans, or the Savannah State fans, did I get them all in? Okay. That they would probably have times where you'll find about some passion for their particular college, their particular team. So passion is this intense emotion. It's a compelling action, a strong devotion to some object, activity, or even concept. Now, also about this passion is this, that passion will draw people, or passion will repel people. Okay? Now, it fascinates to me that this past week on Monday at the PGA Championship in St. Louis, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people out on a Monday following a guy named Tiger Woods. And it was not even the tournament. People are passionate about certain things. Well, this morning, I want to encourage you, if you are on any devices, please turn your devices off unless it's the scriptures. If you're playing games, you're on your devices, turn your device off and try to pay attention. Amen? Amen. If you're around somebody who's playing a game, particularly the seniors. The senior adults get on those games, and they just get the best of them. So if you see a senior, kind of nudge them, make sure the senior is paying attention. Amen? All right. Now, so I'm trying to encourage the body of Christ this morning to come alongside the Lord Jesus Christ and to continue your passion for people. Now, there are four things about passion that you and I need to understand. There's four things about passion on why there seems to be a decrease among believers in the passion meter, if you will. One of the things that are affecting the churches today is that's affecting their passion is that a lot of disciples want to be accepted and approved. Now, body of Christ, can I encourage you, the world will never approve whom you believe in. The world will never accept what you believe. In a few years, those of you that are in our midst here this morning, that believe in the biblical mandate of marriage, you will be a growing minority. You will be the oddball out. It's coming too fast. But the reality of it is coming. And if you're going to be accepted by society, you are going to be challenged in that belief. Passion is decreasing among believers because believers want to be accepted and they want to be approved. The second thing that is affecting the passion meter among believers is the society in general has become very passive. Very passive. Very, very passive. And is affecting the church. The third thing, apathy tends to increase with age. Apathy tends to increase with age. So as you get older, and as I get older, there is a greater tendency to be apathetic. And number four, why the passion meter is down among the churches and believers today, is that, listen, there is no purpose beyond themselves. There is no purpose beyond themselves. As someone look up for me, and then when you got it, stand up. Someone look up for me, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Once you're there, stand up, and then standing up, you're ready to read it. Read it, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Listen to this scripture. Read it again. Turn slightly to your right. There you go. Now read it again. Thank you. As I was walking into the North Cobb Christian School, I was so blessed that up on the big board out before everybody to see, it says, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ." I said, "Wow." Now, you would say, well, what do you expect from a Christian school? Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? It's not what you expect. But at North Cobb Christian School, they are all about helping children and youth to become ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is what the scriptures encourage us to do. Now, I don't know if John needs to help our team in the back or not, but the song that we just sung, we're free, forever we're free, I need the third part of that song back up on the screen in just a moment. So if you guys can start working on that, I'll let you know when to put it up in just a moment. So, in order for you and I to have a passion for people, I believe there are three things that are very basic for you and I. Look in Psalm 126, verse 5. It says, "Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him." Now, this is written from the aspect of agriculture, from the aspect of sowing seeds. Okay? And it says here, those who sow in tears. During the agricultural season, for those of farmers, when they are sowing those seeds, they have a lot of what we call anxiety or concern. Because why? Because it depends on how much rain they get. So it takes care of the soil. So there's a great anxiety. Here in the part of the scripture when it was written, Israel, many believe, were still in bondage. And they were wanting to get out of bondage. They're wanting to get out of bondage. They knew what they did was wrong. But now they wanted to get back in right standing with God Almighty. So here's the first point I want to encourage you to have a passion for people. It's number one, here it is. Believe that the Lord God can use you. Believe that the Lord God can use you. Here is a passage of scripture that talks about sowing seeds with a burden, sowing seeds with a passion. Sowing seeds with a great anticipation that perhaps something will happen out of the planting of seeds. And sometimes what happens when you and I get so burdened or so passionate about something, we can shed tears about it. And those of you that watch certain movies or certain things that happen in a movie or a show, and something depicts something that just gets to your heart, and what begins to happen? You start what? Crying. You start weeping. And weeping is really good for the soul. Can I encourage you today? The Lord God wants to use you. Now, Steve Doyle and Jim Lemke had no idea how God was going to use them. All they said was yes to picking up some pine cones. That's right. Picking up some pine cones. I'd requested that our playground would be cleaned up before the 19th. Well, they get started. They pick up pine cones. When I get on campus on Monday this week, these old men, they're out on their knees. I'm sorry. One old man, Jim Lemke, and a young guy, Steve Doyle, are literally on their knees. I go out there the first time, and you know, I'm compelled, but I'm not that compelled to help. I'm compelled, but not that compelled. I go out there and say, can I get you like some cardboard or something? No, they both had jeans on, and they're tough guys. They know what they're doing. So then I go back inside the building, and now, before I know it, I'm in the multi-purpose room with Stacy, and we're looking at the floor and yada, yada, and all of a sudden, the Lord gives me an idea about the floor. So I march out there where Jim and Steve are. And what are Jim and Steve doing? Picking up pine cones. I go out there and tell them this idea, and all of a sudden, because I have decent peripheral vision, I see this young guy making the way to the playground. He's off of his bike. Now, I am in the playground because of Steve Doyle and Jim Lemke. There's no other reason why I'm in the playground if it wasn't for those guys. But I want to show you how God uses the body of Christ. When the body of Christ moves, when it moves, not when it stays still and looks at the pine cones and does nothing about it, but when the body of Christ moves and does something. So I'm talking to them. I see this guy coming. I know he's making a beeline for us. Well, hey, I don't want to pick up any pine cones. And I know how Jim and Steve are. When people interrupt them, they'll just start talking. So what do? I let them continue to work. Hallelujah. They're picking up the pine cones. Hallelujah. I go out. I finish the conversation. I'm going out. And here's the guy coming right up to me. And this guy is flustered as can be. Now, I'm talking about, number one, believe that God can what? Use you. And this guy just starts talking. Matter of fact, within 10 minutes, he is crying This 20-year-old guy is weeping. I don't know what I'm going to do. I feel like I'm lost. My pastor tells me to be. I don't know what that means. Do you know what that means? And I'm just listening to this guy, and he's crying tears on the back of Jim Limpy's truck. Why is Jim there? He's doing the pine cones. Steve is doing the pine cones. Why am I there? Because they're there. We wouldn't have been there. Just had a flat tire. I'm going, God, go down to Arby's. I called my boss. I'm late. I don't know what I'm doing. And one thing led to another. And 40 minutes later, on the side of Jim Limpke's rock, he is giving his heart to Jesus Christ. Right out here. Because of Jim and Steve. Because they're picking up what? Pine cones. Give them a hand. Well, wait a minute. What are you talking about? I am talking about when the body moves, God uses his body for his greatness and goodness. But you have to believe that God can use you. You have to believe it. Now, I believe that he can. Well, what makes you so sure of that? Because he uses me. And I'm a pretty messed up individual. No amens. I know that some of you were ready to say amen on that. You have to believe. Well, I can't do that. You got that little sour... You got that wimpy attitude. Why would he use you if you have a wimpy attitude? If you're always looking to say, oh, I can't be used. Why would he use you? You have to start believing that God can use you. Why did he die on the cross? He died because you were valuable to him. Well, I can't be used anymore. You talk to Jim Limpke and Steve Doyle. They were as much part of the salvation of that young man as I was. And I believe it with every single fiber within me. That's how God works. And he uses his body together to bring about a cause. You and I need to believe. Thank you, Bob. This is water. This is not wine or anything like that, you know. Those who sow in tears. Number two, believe not only that he can use you, but believe that the Lord, you got to get this, believe that the Lord will change your heart. Now, before I go further, remember what I said, that number three, because of the passion meter of people in the church going down, I said number three was apathy tends to increase with age. Now, let me tell you what apathy is. Apathy isn't a state of mind. It isn't a state of mind. But rather, it is a state, watch this, it is a state of your heart and my heart. The reason why marriages break down is not because of the head. It is because of the heart. It is because of the heart. Well, she isn't as young. Well, man, have you looked in the mirror on yourself lately? See, it's a matter of the heart. Apathy is a matter of the heart. So, I ask you to look, those who sow in tears, then it says, will reap with songs of joy. I mean, what are you talking about? What's this thing talking about? Go all the way to Matthew 9, and watch this. Matthew 9, we have this story of Jesus, and Jesus is early in his ministry, and he's doing some as usual, he does great, great things. He's healing people. He's healing the blind. He's talking about fasting. He calls Matthew the Levite. I mean, he's doing some neat stuff. And he says, I'm about ready to send you on a journey. Now, you have to understand, this is before the power of the Holy Spirit. This is before the cross. This is before the resurrection. And God and Jesus is about to send the disciples on a little trip. And he says in verse 35 of chapter 9, the scriptures read, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. So he is going, right? He is moving. He is doing. Steve Doyle is doing. Jim Lemke is doing. I'm trying to get out of picking up of doing. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Right now, something happens. As he's doing that, in verse 36, it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. What happens when you and I believe that the Almighty God can use you? You start to go. And as you go, something inside begins to change. It's almost like you can't plan how it's going to change your heart. It is what we call, it's a God thing. You go out and what are you doing? You're planting the seed and God is starting to change your heart. As you go, you get compassion. Man, I don't have any compassion on anybody. I understand. I was a Yankee. Man, we're compassionless. Okay? I know what that was like. But it's as you go. It's as you go. You cannot feel it if you never go. Do you hear what I said? You cannot feel it if you never go. It is as you go, as you plant the seed, as you represent Him, something begins to change within the chambers of your heart. But, well, I've never experienced that. The reason why? Because you don't believe that God can use you. So in essence, you're saying, God, you can create the world. You can keep the sun in its place, but you can't do anything about me. Hello. What did I say apathy was? Apathy isn't a state of mind, but rather a state of what? Heart. You have to believe that the Lord God can use you. Jeannie Fuller, who's now in heaven, I remember well her being in choir. I remember well when I asked for teachers. I remember well what she came up to me after a service and said, I can't be a teacher, but the Lord said I'll be a teacher. So I'm going to obey the Lord. Praise God. She came after the first time she taught. She says, it was absolutely awful. I just said, it'll get better. She came the second time. Man, it was worse than the first time. I said, it'll get better. I said, God called you. Don't worry about it. And I think that she was just hard on herself because the people in her class just loved her. She's just the kind of people, as soon as you get around her, you just love on her. She loves on you and all that kind of stuff. You know, just having a love fest, you know. You know, there are certain people in the church you just want to be around. And then there's me. And then there are some people like Tim will just love everybody in spite of themselves. And I'm one of them. Hallelujah. See what I said. Just prove my point, right? Amen. Okay. So you have to believe that the Lord, as you're going, as you're sowing, as you're doing, the Lord will change your heart. Number three, not only will the Lord God can use you, not only the Lord God will change your heart, but let's go back to the Psalm passage of Scripture. And it's very interesting here in the Psalm. You know, I've read this many times, but it was like, finally, I finally got something out of it. And I don't know if that's the way it is with you. You can read scripture and scripture and scripture. Where is that thing going? Man, it's not going for me today because the Lord's teaching me something else. But I got it this week after all the times. Look what the scripture says. It says, he who goes out weeping. He has that passion to go out, right? And God's just using him, right? Carrying seed to sow will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Believe, this is so important. Believe that the Lord will bless you. Now you have to understand where I'm coming from. I'm coming from a pretty negative environment. I'm coming from a place where the very people that I live with daily dislodge their bullets on me. I'm coming from a place where I got in so many fights, I've forgotten how many fights I got in. I'm coming from a place of an alcoholic father who wasn't until really recently till I understood the sense of abuse that I had physically gone through. Not in the aspect of being hit, but the aspect of being overused at 62. It's almost like, whoa, where'd that thing coming from? All right? And I want to tell you that God put this lady in my life. She got saved, right? And every time I'd see her, she'd say, Pastor, have you celebrated? I said, get off. And I wanted to tell her a piece of my mind, but I was dignified. And Sylvia Kambalanga, every time I saw her, she says, Pastor, you can't celebrate. You come off a hope trip, and you came and celebrate one person's salvation because you're just going full steam ahead. And boy, this girl, she read me like a bull. She was a Yankee, and boy, she was 100,000% right. You know what I miss about Sylvia? Those words. She kept me balanced. Do you know what I did this past summer? Do you know that after a couple days when I came back from Hope, I literally forgot that a 67 and an 87-year-old males gave their heart to Christ? I had to ask the Lord's forgiveness. And this is number three. I know I'm talking to some of you here today. You've been in the church longer than I've been in the church. You've studied the scriptures. You know the scriptures. But there is still something within you, as there is within me, somehow feel that the Lord doesn't want to bless you or bless me. And what I want to tell you, it's time to crucify that. It's time to crucify it. Now, I know some of you say, well, I can't. I understand. I'm 62. You know, I mean, I came to the Lord when I was nearly 22 years old. So what? I'm 40 years young in the Lord? I'm just a babe. I'm a babe towards Miss Maddie Merck. Maddie Merck, how long have you known the Lord? 70, 80,000 years or something like that? About how long? Yeah, right. About that long. I mean, Mr. Ayers, you've known the Lord for a long time, right, sir? Didn't you come to know the Lord when you were like in, how old, 9? Yeah, and he's like, something like that, you know, so he's really old too. He's double, he's almost double my, watch this now, he's almost double my age in the Lord. Now some of you are sitting there and say, well, I believe the Lord blessed me. Why aren't you sharing Christ? Allison, you ready? Allison, get back to the scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:2. How many believe the word of God? How many of you would believe it to the point that you'd stand up? Oh, they're standing up, Alice. Don't read that scripture. 2 Chronicles 5, 20. You know, Corinthians. Thanks for the correction. I don't want that other version. Don't be, you know, these people, technology, the geniuses, they go to so many different versions. Use the version earlier. Go ahead, thank you. You may be seated. I know it is absolutely 100% crazy that God would be interested in using you. Because for most of us, we do not feel what? Certified. We don't feel qualified. But guess what? God just wants your availability. He wants your availability. So, Lyle, I'll need 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'll need 8 individuals, Lyle, right now. 8 individuals, 8 ushers to help me with something, sir. If you'll get 7 others with yourself and come on down. So help Lyle. If you know what Lyle I'm talking about, come on down and help him. And Bobby, I want you to give a pack of cards to each of these individuals. Okay? All right? Now, what I want to do this morning is this. I want you to believe that the Lord will bless you. And that he will give you, as you carry these seeds, that he will give you new insights. He will give you a new song. He will give you a new joy. He will give you a new appreciation. All right? So I need 4 of you. I need 2 of you, one side and the other in the middle. 2 cards to every single person. Same over here. 2 cards. You get 1 for each hand. And once you get 1 for each hand, I want you to look at the card. Look at the card. One, I need every single person to have 2 cards. 2 cards. Jimmy, where's your 2 cards? Get them in your hand, Jimmy. I want 1 in each hand. 1 in each hand. I want you to look at one side in one hand and the other side in the other hand. So you're going to see the whole thing. Okay? One side, you're going to look at hamburgers, hot dogs, and hope. On the other side, you're going to see demonstration on how to shoot the basketball using beef. That's how I want you to hold it, okay? I want 2. Every person to have 2, okay? We're talking about a passion for people, all right? Okay. Yeah, you see on the front, hamburgers, hot dogs, and hope. Everything's what? What does free mean? No money. That's right. No money. Very good. Very good. That's what it means, okay? On the other side, look what it says. Oh, we need some more over here, Bobby. Does everybody have 2? Oh, no, you can't have 3. You can only have 2. Don't you dare give anybody 3. You have to have permission to get 3. You have to have permission to have 3. All right. On the other side of the card, it says demonstration on how to shoot the basketball using beef. Some of you could care less about that. That's okay. When? Sunday, August the 19th at 5 p.m. Where? Westside Baptist parking lot. Competition is open for all ages. That's the competition for the 15 brand new basketballs given out in competition. It's family friendly. That means there's no booze. There's no alcohol. So you can tell your friends this is a safe environment. Some of you just wrong. Well, there's not going to be any booze, so, you know. Oh, plus no booze, no drugs. There's no drugs. Hallelujah, no drugs. Okay. And then it tells you the address. Now, what I want you to do, okay? Man, time's getting away. I want you to give these away to 2 individuals. I want you to invite them to this. maybe by your invitation and God using you to sow a seed, you never know. You never know what God is going to do. Now, don't do it today. Don't you dare do it today unless you've prayed over these cards. You prayed over them. What do I mean? I just don't want you to flippantly give this out. I want you to let it get to your heart. I want you to think, because you have two cards. Not 10, not 20, just two. I want you to concentrate on two people. Now, let me share something with you very quickly. It happened on a Saturday during the clinic. We were asked to knock on doors. We went into an area where we were told we weren't supposed to be. Matter of fact, they told Steve. Steve was my leader. I obey my leader. We were going, they told Steve at two different occasions, you're not supposed to do that. Well, what did Steve do? He continued to do it. No, I'm just teasing. We were just led to do that. That was Saturday afternoon. The clinic was that night in the storm. In the storm of the six people that came, four of those six gave their heart to Christ. Three were adults, and one was Mr. Ayer's age, about 8 or 9 years old. And that was on Saturday afternoon, Saturday late morning, and the clinic starts 6 o'clock. See, that's what I'm saying. I want you to be strategically praying which two individuals that you need to give these cards to. Now, I know some of you will take that card and you'll throw it away by 6 o'clock tonight. And I feel sorry for some of you, because you will not know what it means to be used by God. You won't. You'll come on Sunday and you'll come and participate. You'll even serve. But you won't have the same game in that you have if you said, hey, that's the card that I gave. I remember the people that came. I remember the Hope people that came up and says, I knocked on their door. They were pumped. See, that's what happens when you get in the game, when you have something vested in it. Oh, well, my thing is setting up the tents. Well, duh. Well, my thing is doing the chairs. Duh. That goes without saying. 3 o'clock, we have major setup. For those of you food prep people, don't come to 4. Well, why? Because we're not going to be ready for you at 3. I don't want you in my way asking questions. Well, I see chairs. Should I get some? Duh. Duh. Boom! Come on! That's why I'm asking you to get in the game. You pray about who to give out. And when you come Sunday, your antennas are going to be up. It's going to feel like, some people says, is Farobi been drinking? He is beyond guilty. I kid you, that's what happens. You see, during every basketball clinic we have ever done, the reason why God blesses it, because our motives are pure. We want people to come to Jesus, period. That's it. And when this Hope Local team presents the gospel, sometime during the clinic, if you're in the game, you will see it. But if you're just outside the game, you won't see it. You'll be sitting there and say, man, it sure is hot. It's not hotter than hell. That's why apathy has gotten a hold of the church. You're so concerned more about yourself than people that are dying and going to hell. And the church needs to change that. And if that involves you, then you need to get your heart changed. Because we're about bringing people to Jesus Christ. We're about helping them to grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that little guy right there, he was dedicated here in this church a number of years ago. And then next Sunday afternoon, he's going to be standing up before people as nervous as can be. And he's going to be sharing the scripture. And I'm going to be saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, that the parents have done something right in his life. Challenging him already. Well, isn't that a little bit too much? Don't they stand up and stand before the class and have to give some type of speech or something? Why can't boys and girls and young children stand up and tell people about Jesus Christ? Right, Tommy? You got that right. See, that's what's powerful. So what are you going to have in? What are you going to have invested? See, that's why don't give them out right away. Pray over them. And you might say, Friday night, they're burning a hole in your pocket. Praise the Lord. That could be exactly where the Lord wants you. And then Saturday, and it could be Sunday afternoon when you leave campus, and there could be five people just right out on the street, right out here. See, I believe that it happens all the time when the body of Christ gets serious about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God can use every one of you. And we leave the results to him. Hallelujah. But God will take over. His Holy Spirit will just take over sometime during that clinic. And boy, it will just be marveling to see what God does. Some of you have never seen a clinic. You're going to say, whoa. And you're going to be first in line for the next one. When we get another group ready to be trained up and ready to share the gospel. Because you're going to want to participate in something that God has an anointing on. Now, it's really good to give out that card if you have a relationship with Christ. Now, could you give it out without it? Absolutely. You sure can. You sure can. God can use anybody. Use all of us, right? So in just a moment, I'm going to have a sinner's prayer. If you've never given your heart to Christ, today could be the day. I mean, you're playing this game. You're playing this game. Well, I go to church. Well, I give my tithes. This young man going to church. This young man on this campus said, I give, but it had nothing in the heart, outside the heart. It's inside the heart. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads for just a moment? Thank you so much. If you're sitting there and outside of Christ, can I just encourage you to take that step? It's a risk. I know it's a risk.